Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
The mob rules, but not on your front lawn. What you should do in order to protect yourself in case you find yourself in immediate danger. We're going to be having on an expert who's going to teach you how to save your life and to protect your community. You know, just the other day I was looking over someone's shoulder who was watching a video showing how the BLM protesters were harassing families who were going to church, screaming at them through megaphones not to bring your children into the church. And it was a pretty anxiety-producing situation. What would they do? Would they be violent? You know, they're saying, save the kids, save the kids. Somebody was joking afterwards that if you want to save the kids, go and demonstrate in front of an abortion clinic. But instead, they were screaming, save the kids, because their parents were taking them to church. How long will this be until the BLM protesters go to your local synagogue and start to stand there in a mob with bullhorns screaming not to bring your children into the synagogue, or making you go to your knees and bow down to them and beg forgiveness, or demand from Jewish communities or anyone reparations by gunpoint even? So we're going to be speaking with a security expert. He says you need to do bad things to bad people. And we're going to learn what he says, and he's going to teach us what to do, how to do it. Also, I want to encourage you all that if you love Israel News Talk Radio, which I know you do, go and help support us. Go to our donate button on our webpage. You can either find it as a bright green button on the right-hand side of the page as you scroll down, or in the menu bar that goes across, there is a donate button there, and you can get your name up on our wall of fame. Go check that out, too. See how many people have donated. Thank you, everybody who has. We're adding two new shows onto our lineup because of that. We'll be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
To do bad things to bad people. That's what our security expert says, that he's going to be our guest on our show. Because, my friends, unfortunately, the mob rules, but they should not be ruling on your front lawn. And we're going to find out what you should do. Yesterday, I told you I was looking over someone's shoulder and I saw them watching a video of the BLM protesters harassing families that were going to church. And I say, how long is it going to be until they're in front of your synagogue, crowding around there, the mob, trying to scream, save the children, save the babies, whatever they were screaming. And as we said, they should be screaming that in front of an abortion clinic. But in any case, we're going to be talking about what we need to do, because as we know, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. That was the famous saying by Edmund Burke. And we're going to be learning how to be good people and not do nothing. So our guest today is Dr. Itai Gill. He is an expert on national security defense and counterterrorism. He's a former elite special forces captain, and he has a PhD in national defense. He's here to give us a look at the latest headlines, what we're seeing of the mobs taking over and what to do. And you can visit his website, by the way, at protect.expert or you just put in protect.expert or Itai Gill, and we will link to his website where this show is podcasted. So welcome to the show, Dr. Itai Gill.
Hey, Tamar, thank you for having me. Good morning. Good morning from Israel.
All right. So, Itai, you know, anybody who's been watching the news has seen that frightening experience when I think the name of the family is the Mikulski family, and I think it was in St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken, where a mob came on their front lawn threatening to kill their dog, to burn their house down. They were afraid for their lives, and they went out and they took their weapons that they had in their home, and they brandished them, and it did save the crowds from coming in and killing their dog and destroying their home and maybe even killing them. But in the end, they were arrested. Their guns were confiscated by the authorities afterwards. I mean, it sounds crazy, but I think that everybody is afraid, what happens if they come for me and my family? So I know that you're starting a program also called the Global Safe Program, and maybe you can entwine everything all together and teach us what we need to do.
Well, first of all, I want to start with saying that I believe the barometer among many humans worldwide has been damaged and broken. And when I refer to this, you know, a scientific approach of the barometer of what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil, and what do we stand for? Technically, you know, all babies are born, you know, clean. You know, they're not infected by any opinions to hate whatever color or any race. It's all the way you've been, unfortunately, I will say, brainwashed by certain medias and parenting and so on and so on. I will say that this is the most destructive thing, because for the last, you know, 20, 30 years, if it's universities or certain agendas that pull strings behind the scenes and political forces to manipulate minds of people, that if they think burning property and robbing or killing or invading someone's home, and they think that is justified because someone's skin color is white, or that means your barometer is broken. So yes, I do agree. If you look at the history, humans have, you know, managed to somehow do harm to one each other in the past, historically. And yeah, if you want to talk about historical events that, you know, there was black slavery, you know, more than 200 years ago. It's okay. It's part of history, and we cannot reverse history. What's done is done. I refuse to believe that, you know, when cops wake up in the morning, they have intentions to say, I'm going to kill a colored person from this, you know, racial background. I refuse to believe that. I don't think cops hate anyone. And there's enough statistics out there to prove that, you know, if we like it or not, that somehow in black neighborhoods, you know, they manage to shoot one each other, unfortunately, and it's tragically very sad that they do that to one each other. And there's numbers out there that can just be researched. And I refuse to believe that cops wake up in the morning and kill. And by saying that, going back to the property and the right of self-defense, the right of self-defense exists probably in many, many countries around the world. The problem is the way politicians interpret it. So what do people expect from so-called law-abiding citizens if they have their own private property, their house, and a group of vandalists illegally want to break your gate because there's images of the gate is broken, so it means that was done with force, coming into your property and want to loot and burn and possibly kill you? That's called a home invasion. And, you know, the most logical question is to ask ourselves, are we supposed to, like, you know, go on our knees and give in and get beaten up or massacred, killed, possibly raped, get your dog killed and get your house burned down, everything you worked for so hard all your life, and ask ourselves, is this okay? And that again comes to the barometer, the scale of what is right and wrong. And I think in the short term, when I look at two spectrums of, I would refer to public safety and prevention of, you know, prevention of any hate or killings. And, in my background, everything is based on prevention. Counter-terror teams work on preventing. If you already are called into the scene to, you know, deal with a problem, that's mean, oh, we didn't prevent. So number one is, yes, people do have the right to defend themselves at all costs. What are we supposed to do? Let someone come and murder me? And it doesn't have anything to do with any kind of color. I would say that to a white person if he wanted to invade a black man's house, the result would be the same. And therefore, I'm coming, and I'm not politically correct. I do not actually care what always people say. I usually say my ideas and my thoughts publicly, and people say, oh, you're this, you're that, and you know, it is what it is. People need to learn how to defend themselves, and society at the moment has a giant gap in some portions of the population. I'm not going to point out all people because it's not true, but we need to be ready and we need to be trained. And if law enforcement will not be called because they're defunded or whatever reasons, you need to stand your ground and have, you know, a plan how to defend yourself. If you have legal firearms, you need to learn how to use them well. You need to know how to protect your property from outside and inside. I would advise people that do have time to set up stronger perimeters, and if it's gates and CCTV cameras, and have a safe room inside the house with water and food, and some type of system of communications that they can call outside and just hang on until the storm is over. You know, it's funny that years ago I used to see sometimes on television people that were considered crazy to have all these preppers when they dig underground, you know, so-called barricaded and reinforced tubes that they bury underground with, canned food and store water for long terms and weapons and things. And people used to say, oh, they're crazy. Why are they doing that? You know, and here we are. Society is broken, and you may have people, you know, invading. And if you want to protect your family at all costs, you know, you should be ready. Everyone should find their own method that suits them. But yes, training and being ready for violence is, unfortunately, very tragically, I'm saying this, is something that we have reached a point of no return, where if you don't know what to do, you may end up dead. And that's happening to people. So, yes, I advise people to prepare.
Okay,
so I can say right now.
We're almost at the end of this segment, Itai, and in the next segment, I want to talk to you about the situation of, God forbid, the police not showing up because of whatever reason, whether it's defunding, whether it is that the police are have a stand down order. We saw already the famous video of a woman who was being surrounded by protesters in her car with her little daughter in the car, and she was calling 911, and they would not come. They said this is a sanctioned area. And they've been called basically to stand down, and she can make a complaint if she likes with City Hall. It was ludicrous, the answer that she got. So what do you do when you're out on the road and this happens to you? What do you do if this is an individual that wants to protect themselves, or we're talking about a community, your synagogue maybe, or your church? What about should everybody run to go get a gun? Should we, if we do, how many do we need? And is there a difference for someone living in the city versus someone living in the suburbs? I want to find out everything we can about these things when we get back from the break. Again, we're speaking with Itai Gill. He is a security expert, and he's going to help us try to protect ourselves wherever we are and wherever, God forbid, a mob should meet us. We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
So the mob rules, that's what it seems like today, but it should not be ruling, at least it should not be ruling on your front lawn. You have to protect your family, you have to protect your life, and you have to protect your community. And our guest is Dr. Itai Gill. He is an expert on national security defense and counterterrorism. He holds a PhD in national defense, and he is a former elite special forces captain. And he is telling us how we can protect ourselves. It is frightening what is happening, even if you're doing everything right. What happens if you're on the road? You have to go to the dentist. You have to go places, and you're coming back, or you're going there, and all of a sudden, a mob should surround your car, start jumping on the hood of your car, on the roof of your car, trying to open up your door. Let's say you have a child in the car. This is a frightening situation to be in, and we need to know what to do. And what happens if you're also doing everything right, and someone breaks into your home, and you call the police, you call 911, and the police have been defunded, or they've been given an order to stand down, or for whatever reason, the police are either not showing up or they're showing up late. What are you going to do? Ultimately, your protection is in your own hands. So on that note, Dr. Itai Gill, what do you say? Should everybody be going out now to buy themselves a gun?
Well, first of all, I'm a big fan of firearms and weapons, and of course, as long as you know how to use them. You know, there's being a lot of people talking nonsense out there that trying to ban guns and whatever. I'll say guns in the right hands do miracles, okay? It will save your life. So if you're a female and you're on your own in your own apartment and some people try to break into your home and they're going to try to beat you up or rape you or kill you or loot or whatever it is, you have the right to defend yourself, and it doesn't matter what the law says. I will say 100%, your life depends on your sets of skills in making the decision of what will you do. Now, do you need to go lethal? Possibly you can do one round, you know, and to release towards the legs to make them understand you're sending out a message. Hey, you come any closer, I will shoot the center of mass. And it's all about protecting yourself. So critical thinking under pressure is probably the most relevant thing to discuss, because you're having a gun in your house. And first of all, awareness of your environment. So it means if you know that you're now in a period of time where there may be a home invasion, or you hear sounds and you have maybe a very low cost camera that you can a place outside on your door that works on Wi-Fi, that would be probably a real cheap solution. There's online cameras that you can buy that give you an indication to your cell phone. that would probably be one line of defense. Then, you know, if you have a possibility not to have a simple, a low-cost wooden door with one key, but maybe to replace your door with a more reinforced one, of course, it's going to cost money, but it will save life and give you time to make a decision and stand your ground. If you had no other option, and for example, they managed to break a window and throw in a cocktail bottle and try to burn down the building or the house, what apparently happened, you need to have an evacuation plan, because if you stay inside that compound and it's catching fire, you may perish in that fire. So thinking of all these things of making critical decisions under stress, because your heartbeat will beat fast. And most people are not trained to be, you know, high-end law enforcement experts or military experts that, you know, that's the kind of training they go through. The average civilian does not possess those skills. But saying that, if we do need to survive and save our lives, adrenaline will kick in. And yes, so if you did prevention methods, that would be helpful. And also go to the fire range and try to fight, shoot a few rounds, learn how to handle a jam, a malfunction in your gun, learn how to change magazines. And yes, that will save your life. So that would be probably one of the lines of defense I would be discussing.
Okay, I want to jump in for a second and say that my gun teacher, I think he was a former deputy sheriff from Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken, he was saying, you know, because all, I shouldn't say all of us, but many of us are, we don't want to shoot anybody. We don't want to kill anybody. But he told us if you are afraid in fear of your life, then it's better to be judged or put on trial and judged by 12.
Judged by a jury and not carried by six.
Exactly. Better to be judged by 12 than to be carried by six. Like when you carry a coffin to the six people.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. I agree 100% with that theory. staying alive is the number one priority. That's a God-given.
Okay.
We have the right to stay
alive. So far you've said some of the things we can do is get extra locks on your doors, get some security cameras, even inexpensive ones that you run on the internet, and also train with a firearm and purchase an appropriate one for yourself. What else do we need to do?
Well, you were talking about commuting from A to B, so you're leaving your house, you're locking your house, so if the house is invaded and broken into, let's be honest. Any normal house can be broken into. I mean, technically, with very minimal equipment, you can break into someone's house. And many of the houses that we know of have plaster walls, and the windows are not reinforced, or they're not bulletproof, and they're not resilient glass to withstand, you know, hammer or axe, you know, strikes and blows. So technically, anything can be broken into, but that's property. Okay, so protecting property is another thing, but that costs more. But protecting life is my highest value. So if you mentioned, before that what happens, you're getting into your car, you need to go to the groceries or whatever, and suddenly a mob stands in front of your vehicle and, decides they want to block you and start breaking the windows, the side windows of your vehicle or the front windows of your car, and you know what, maybe you're with your kids inside, I will tell you this is going to be a terrifying moment. You're going to fear for your life and for your children, and a decision needs to be made. Will you let them because you're not willing to ram over them with the vehicle, or you're not willing to back up with the vehicle and try to do some type of, you know, U-turn and evacuate, even maybe going on the sidewalk and maybe even smashing your vehicle and making physical damage to the car at all costs to save lives. Now, if I had no choice, I would ram over the people. I would just use the force of the vehicle to try to, you know, move forward and evacuate.
Is that allowed by law? We have to be very careful here what we're saying.
Again, it is not the perfect solution. Honestly, it's not the perfect solution. So let's simulate. Let's say you decide to stop the car and you know what? You're going to open the window. You have a firearm. How many rounds do you have in that firearm? How many people are you going to shoot? You see? And if you are dragged out or you have a malfunction with a gun, the door is going to be open. They're going to invade your vehicle, drag you out and beat you to death. And that's what happened. There's quite a few videos on social media where you see people I even saw a video in Texas, a group of people beating down a white person, beating him to death. He's being stomped and kicked to his head so bad from a shop. And yeah, a tragedy. So, and who says the people that are going to try to pull over your car are not carrying firearms? Maybe some of them do have a permit, but they belong to a, you know, a group of vandalists. And I would even refer to it as terrorism. Nobody has the right to do that. So the question is, you know, that thin line of we are saying, are we teaching people or motivating people to break the line? I say no. I will say that use proper judgment, get training. And if it comes to the situation where you need to save your life or your family's life at all costs, that matters. And that's the game changer. You need to do whatever it takes to stay alive. And,
all right.
Even if it's using the vehicle or a firearm.
I just want to say that perhaps people, just as when you give medical advice, people always have to back it up with, you know, speak with your doctor first about it. Perhaps you should already have a telephone call with the police department asking them, what is the law? What am I allowed to do in order to protect myself if my car is surrounded by a mob? And then you make your decisions. So we're just telling you on this program to think about what could happen, to prepare for it, and to find out what's legal. That's on your responsibility, what you need to do. And I think that we do, Itai, we need to think about it before it happens. What's going to happen if, God forbid, my car is surrounded, and then I already know what to do because I spoke with the police and I spoke with a specific security person personally, and they tell me what I should do. All right, we only have another minute left to this segment. What about your synagogue or your church or your community?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you're mentioning this because this is way before the Antifa and the BLM, you know, Black Lives Matter, looting and fires and all this thing that started because of this George Floyd thing. You know, synagogues were always a target. You know, Jews were always a target. And yes, there's other religious places that were attacked as well, but we're not going to talk about that.
All right, we only have like 30 seconds, so what do we do?
You need to train the people that come to synagogue and pray to be ready for the next wave. Just get ready. Be vigilant.
In this video that I saw yesterday, they had the BLM protesters just mobbing and then pushing their way into the church, even though the church had what looked like to me a security guard, somebody who was checking people who was coming in. When you've got a whole bunch of people, just a mass movement of people on one security guard, he really can't do anything.
Exactly. That's the problem. So again, setting up a secure perimeter will require a budget. There is ways to secure places, like make it like a much more secure compound. Who can come in and who cannot? So it means reinforced doors, reinforced windows, and
buzzing people in. All right, we have to stop here. We've come to the break. We're going to be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentecohen. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
What do you do when you find yourself in front of a mob? And we're speaking with Itai Gill. He is an expert on national security defense and counterterrorism. You can visit his website at www.protectcollege or protect.expert. Just write in protect.expert. It'll take you immediately to his website there. And Itai, when we were talking in the last segment, we were talking about before how to protect yourself individually. Also, if God forbid you find yourself in the midst of a mob when you're in your car. One listener commented that they were taught never to stop your car, and you agreed with that during the break. I was asking you, and you said, yes, always be moving. You want to get out of there as fast as possible. But again, I want to reiterate that people should call their local police and ask them what to do if they find themselves surrounded and their car is being attacked with them in it, with their child in it. What do you do? So you know what to do. And already prepare for it before it happens. So God forbid, if it happens, you're prepared and you know what to do. That's not the time to think when it's happening to you. And then I asked you about community protection, and you were talking about ways that people can secure their synagogue, and they could probably even go to your website and find out some things there. What other pointers can you give us, Itai?
Well, regarding synagogues, is because it's a public place for worship, okay, so a lot of people can come there and get together. So first of all, the first line of defense would be, it, with a relatively not a huge budget, you can reinforce the windows, okay? So it means so no one can, you know, break the window and throw in a cocktail bottle, and then everyone will be engulfed in a fluid that's flammable, and that can cause serious damage. So that would be, you know, devastating. So reinforce windows, not a big cost. Get it done. You know, they're shockproof, hammerproof, and axe-proof, okay? So it would take someone from a mob, you know, pretty much of an effort to break the windows. Second thing, reinforce doors with a buzzer with a camera outside that you can see who is coming. And if you see a mob outside, just lock in, barricade yourself, and, you know, hopefully you can survive and they'll give up and they'll walk away. Also, if there's young guys that come to sit, some have their arms and they're trained and they know what to do. Because we don't want people to, you know, by mistake, shoot one each other and have a friendly fire. And the idea is also to do some drills, also get some training. It's part of the method. You need to have training. You need to have experience. You need to have knowledge. And I will say knowledge will give you a resilience. So if you're confident in the sets of skills you possess, you will perform better in a crisis. And that's, by the way, what we work with law enforcement guys or military guys, what makes them more resilient to withstand uncomfortable or extreme situations. Isn't that what it's all about? So the possibility of being able to perform in a stressful environment is what will make you stay alive. If you do not have that kind of mentality, attitude, and training, less chances of survival.
And then hire somebody who does.
Oh, of course, you can always hire somebody. But the problem is, will that hired somebody always be around you to solve the problem? So you're mentioning many of the things that I'm involved in on a daily basis. At the end of the day, you know, you're leaving your apartment, you know what, just to go outside to take mail from the mailbox and someone jumps on you. What do you do? Most people don't have a clue about any self-defense whatsoever. Most people do not stay fit. Most people do not do any strength training. Most people don't have any idea what to do in a stressful situation. They don't know life-saving skills in medicine. They don't know how to make a tourniquet. They don't know how to stop a bleeding. And again, these are real important skills in our days, you know? So everybody needs to acquire some type of training. That's my philosophy.
Wow, very, very interesting. Very, very important. All right. And you're now opening up a basically an online college.
Correct.
And you're calling this a global SAFE program. Safe. Tell us about that.
So we have two segments on the website. One is for people that want to get recognized academically for certain sets of skills if they have. So if someone is a high-end a military personnel or a gifted athlete in a certain spectrum, okay? They possess skills. So what we do actually is we evaluate and assess the levels of skills they have. They have to prove they know what they're saying they know. It can be from swimming, boxing, or it can be from, you know, counterterrorism and public safety or firearms. So we assess knowledge. So we're doing exactly the opposite. We're one of a kind. So where people can come and say, I am skilled. I'm 20 years in the canine industry. I know how to work with dogs, train dogs, but there's no academic qualification in that industry. And therefore, that's exactly what we're doing. We're helping people to boost their careers and get academic recognition for all the hard work and sweat they put into their hobby or work. The Global Safe is another thing that we have on the website. It's a group of videos, about 150 videos that I have with a group of partners from a group called Engage, where we have a website where you can pay for a relatively very low cost, around $49, $50. And you have access to a library of worst case scenarios. So for example, you see someone getting stabbed in a video and, okay, how do I stop a bleed out? How does a regular civilian that has no combat training and not a combat medic, we train them not to freeze and how to improvise and make a tourniquet. We teach people how to identify suspicious behavior. What is suspicious behavior? Okay, if someone is aggressive towards you, can you prevent before the attack is launched? And so on. So we have there about 150 videos. So for example, you're traveling to a foreign country. So now maybe because of the COVID, we're not traveling. But if you're going from A to B, are you aware of your environments? Do you have an object in your pocket? For example, a pen, just a simple pen in your pocket. If you're a female, especially, and someone tries to grab you, you can use that pen as an object to stab, you know, in the flesh. And it will save your life and then just run away, evacuate yourself. So all of these little things in the videos are broken down with top instructors from my team that explain to people what needs to be done in case of. So from CPR, choking, life-saving skills, self-defense at different levels, how to disarm a gun, what to do in case of a home invasion. You're in a hotel and there's an attack in a hotel and so and so. So we've made over there a library of about 150 videos. And yeah, it's picking up. People love it and they're signing up for it. So it's another form of education.
Do you do anything on psychology? Like, I'm just wondering, sometimes I see these videos of people who are like, they're pleading for their lives or they're asking for mercy from these mobs. Is that the wrong thing to do? Because, you know, when I see these videos, they ultimately get picked on anyway. Maybe the mobs love it when you beg for mercy because it empowers them. I don't know. What's the right thing to do?
Well, you know, again, my mentality, my attitude about this is one way. You need to be trained in order to be resilient. And, you know, it's a good question, what came before the egg or the chicken? Because when you say someone is begging, someone that has nothing in his toolbox will probably beg. Does it make sense what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you have nothing to do to fight off whoever is coming to get you. Now, I'm not going to say we're always going to win the battle, but are you going to get, you know, violated, killed, beaten up to death? Even if you're begging, what's the point? So the question is, isn't it a lot easier to work on prevention? Get trained, go to a fire range, get legally a firearms, have a concealed carry, okay? And if you can't, have an object in your pocket. There's a lot of cold weapons out there that are legal, like a reinforced tactical pen, okay? There's so many things that you can use. And again, get fit and get strong. And again, your number one line of defense will always be awareness and observation. Before a physical attack happens, if you see a commotion, a group coming, you're
knowing,
I'm already in a danger zone. So prevention is your number one, you know, ally.
Uh-huh.
You know, thousands of years ago, hunters, or hundreds of years ago, they had something that we refer to scientifically as intuition. You know, they could hear sounds in the bush or in the forest when they were hunting some type of gazelle or animal or setting a trap, and they did not want to become food by another predator. So here we are, you know, 2020, and we still have these skills that are called intuition or instinct or awareness. People have three senses. One is the eyes to see, the ears are to hear, and the sense of touch. You will know immediately if the touch is friendly or the touch is aggressively. If people keep these three lines in their mind, they will be okay.
Doctor,
skills. Yep.
Dr. Itai Gill, I want to thank you very, very much for coming on the show. And I want to remind everybody, again, you can go to his website at protect.expert. And he has an online college there that, again, you can do in order to be prepared to know what to do before the danger arrives. And as he said, be sensible, be aware, know if a mob is coming towards you or if there's a mob in the area, you want to get out. That's the first thing you want to do, is just not be there. And on that note, I want to again encourage Jews all over the world, if you're living in the exile, come and make Aliyah. If you're not there, they can't hurt you. And this is one of the things that Itai's talking about. Know your surroundings, know what you have to do, know what has to be done. And this is one of the things. It's otherwise, you're just waiting for it to finally arrive at your doorstep, because I believe, in my opinion, it will arrive on your doorstep. It's only a matter of time. Dr. Itai Gill, thank you again so much for being with us. And again, people can go and sign up for his classes there.
Thank you, and have a great day and a blessed day.
His Global Safe program.
Protect yourselves.
Thank you, Itai Gill. And thank you, everybody, for being with us. Feel free to email me, tamar@israelnewstalkradio.com.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.